Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week my guest is Virgin Radio presenter and producer Graham Smith. This year, Graham has been instrumental in launching and running the pop-up station Virgin Radio Pride, which started at the beginning of June, and I asked Graham to explain exactly what it is.
Virgin Radio Pride is a celebration of the LGBTQ plus community. It runs for 3 months. So we run it from the start of June all the way through to the end of August. Nowadays, we call June Pride Month, don't we? I mean, I just remember that, like, that didn't happen when I was younger. So June's now Pride Month. And a lot of companies kind of compete in to do the LGBTQ plus thing. And, you know, you do see a lot of LGBTQ plus offerings in the sort of radio industry these days. I know Bauer have got their one. There's Gaydio, of course, you know, been there, the trailblazers since the very beginning, and we do love the work that they've done. I really respect them. And Virgin Radio Pride is here to do Pride, but from the kind of Virgin Radio brand perspective. And we're doing it a bit differently to kind of other people. A lot of them have gone for, yeah, we play a lot of music on our radio station, and, you know, that's great. But we also leave a lot of space for things that other people aren't doing in that space. So it's not just a case of a really overly simplified, here's an LGBTQ plus theme 3 months and it's nonstop music. It's like we're having documentaries, we're having specials, we're having real conversations taking place. This year we've got a live mid-morning show through the week, and there's just constantly guests coming in and chatting and getting into subjects that I feel like a lot of other people that are trying to do this kind of radio station haven't actually touched on yet. And certainly from my perspective this year, the theme has been, for me, the things I'm trying to do to kind of move things on from even where they were last year on Virgin Radio Pride is just even more inclusive, even more diverse, and let's get into them subjects and let's really platform some sections of the community that don't always get platformed. But let's make a good radio station at the same time that's still entertaining and engaging, you know.
I'm going to talk to you in a bit about the sort of serious side of the station and some of those amazing conversations. But I want to talk to you first about you heading up the station this year. What's been involved behind the scenes in getting this up and running?
It's been a huge undertaking, and I'm kind of blessed, I guess, really, that news broadcasting have really thrown everything they can behind this. A bit of budget, certainly time from, you know, from people across the business. There's a lot of it. It is a cross-functional effort. There's different people from across different parts of this business, which isn't just radio. You know, there's bits of telly involved, bits of publishing, some of the newspapers. We've had backing from everybody. So it's been, it's been unique, really. And obviously my conversations to get people on board, some of the, you know, there's some independent production companies making stuff for us, Audio Always coming back again to make some bits for us, Bengo in Cardiff are on board to make some stuff, and my conversations with them, a lot of them people started months and months ago, because there's a bit of a lead time on making stuff like that, just to kind of brief them on, you know, it's back and these are my ideas for how I want it to be this year, and more cross-functional stuff than you might imagine. So if we want something, we can have it, because it seems that Virgin Radio Pride is important to them here at Virgin Radio and at News Broadcasting. They are proud of Virgin Radio Pride. And I think it really helped when, I don't know if you've seen, there was a debate in the House of Lords. I think it was about the new media bill that's just been signed into law.
Yeah.
There was a comment raised by, I can't remember which Lord it was, but specifically mentioning Virgin Radio Pride and the work Virgin Radio Pride's done and showing that how commercial radio can really have an impact culturally. And I thought that was just great. So yeah, it's been a huge amount of prep, and everybody here at Virgin's kind of jumped on board with it. It's given the same weight and importance. It's not just a spin-off digital channel that we're running on, or, you know, running off a Zeta machine somewhere. They're treating it like one of their core radio stations, and everybody that's involved, from people who are voice tracking shows through to independent producers, is really involved in what they're doing here. So it's been an intense period, but possibly one of the most rewarding periods I've ever had in my career.
Virgin Radio Pride.
A station driven by the LGBTQ plus community.
2 minutes to go.
The one rule is to be yourself.
Celebrating who we are.
I can hold my boyfriend's hand in public.
The ability to be who you are. To be proud of who you are.
Remember to fall in love with yourself and be proud.
Holding my girlfriend's hand with a big old smile on my face.
A celebration of identity where everyone is welcome.
You aren't alone, and you're not in it alone.
It's really lovely to be surrounded by acceptance and love.
We're loud, we're proud, and we're back.
Sing, scream about it from the rooftops.
We are dragging you out with some more bangers.
I saw a clip on socials of you talking to Dick and Dom, actually, just as you were about to launch. They really picked up on the marketing and the branding and how that was everywhere. And obviously the rainbow has been really strong, hasn't it?
Oh, well, it's very nice of you to say so, because sometimes when you're sat in here and you're working on something and there's tight deadlines and, you know, you're getting up early, you're going to bed late, all of that, it can kind of pass you by. I think that the point at which I realized that this year we might be onto something quite special is when I came in on the Friday, Mike Cass, who's the content director, who I've known for a long time here at Virgin, was like, oh, here's tomorrow's Times and here's the Sun. Obviously, they're two newspaper brands that exist in-house at News. They devoted massive adverts across, you know, real prime real estate for them. And the copy on the adverts was great. The imagery they were using looked great. I really loved how when they were using the Pride flag, they'd really gone to work on making that work within the branding. And there's a real focus at the center of the Pride flag was the trans, non-binary, you know, and the support for the Black community, people of color. It was front and center of what they were offering. And I thought, this is really something kind of special at the moment. I was really proud at that point. And I realized that it was hopefully what we were doing was going to cut through and that people got what we were trying to do with it a bit more this year.
I want to talk about the music policy. I've been listening to the station, sort of dipping in and out. The music's so vibrant. It's upbeat. It's got a great summer feel. How much work goes into that music scheduling? So that Virgin Radio Pride's got its own identity, but it aligns itself to the bigger Virgin brand and sound.
There wasn't much in the way of argument about what the playlist was going to be this year. It was really unique in that we stepped into meetings and everyone was like, oh yeah, we want to do that. And I was like, oh, well, I think you should do this. And they were like, oh, well, we'd like to do that. And so there was no misalignment anywhere along the chain in terms of how the music policy was going to fall into place. And you know, that can be often how people fall out. Well, I want the music to go this way and I want to go this way. But we were all on the same page. And I think how it's come out, and it was described beautifully by Mike, he said, it's kind of a bit like Galaxy. And we're all like, because we all loved, well, a few of us worked on Galaxy. Steve Denyer did. I was at Galaxy for years. Mike was my boss at Galaxy, and we're not trying to reheat a souffle, but what we're doing is bringing some of those, because you can never do that.
No, you can't. No, it doesn't work.
No, apparently not.
No, it doesn't.
What we were trying to do is bring a contemporary, I'm not going to say Kistry, because that's been done, because it's distinct from that, but it's still upbeat bangers, you'd call them now, with some contemporary tracks thrown in. I'd say it's a super hot AC station that kind of goes in the mix sometimes. It's a rhythmic AC format almost. I was checking it out when I was on the train the other day on the way home from work, and we rattled through some, you know, there was a contemporary sort of pop tune, then there was a dance tune from the last 10 years, and then there was a 90s tune, then there was a more upfront dance tune, and then come from nowhere, there was this late 80s track that just really fitted perfectly in the mix. And I was like, ah, this is Virgin Radio, because that's kind of what Virgin is all about. It's there's a strong playlist, but there's them sort of curveballs. And I feel like it could have gone so wrong. The music policy from Virgin Radio probably really jarred as you moved across from Virgin Radio UK. But all of the digital channels have now got their own distinct identities. And I'd say that Virgin Radio Pride is just that little bit hotter than Virgin Radio UK. Virgin Radio UK is almost similar, you could say, to maybe Radio 2 or Heart. It's in that sort of area. And I think we just sit slightly to the more slightly hotter than it. And I'm so happy with the way that it's all kind of fallen together on the air. You know, it's all well and good when you have them conversations. Oh, we should do this and play that and do this. But how it's fell together, and even, I mean, I'm a proper geek and I just love the when we got the engineers up and they were said, what's the playlist? And I explained to Lloyd Davis, is one of our engineers, and so was Ed Norton as well. And we sat downstairs on the engineering floor in at London Bridge, and I said, this is the playlist. And Lloyd's like, brilliant. I'm so excited to kind of get the processing right for this. Everybody enjoyed getting the processing right. You know, the imaging producers are Thorpe from On The Sly, who do Virgin Radio's imaging, and they are at the top of their game, and he just got it straight away. He was like, right, this is going to sound a bit like Galaxy, but a bit like Virgin. And I think you'll probably tell I'm really excited by the way Virgin Radio Pride has kind of come out this year. You know, from them bits that make a radio station great, all the way through to what are the bits that we can do to really move the conversation on in the LGBTQ plus community and do it in a way that's a bit different to before. Yeah, because I felt like that was something that was maybe lacking in the approach that's come from maybe some other people elsewhere.
That brings me nicely too about what is a bit different about what you're doing. And it is that more serious side to the station. Some of the interviews, some of the stories have been amazing. I want to talk to you about those. And I'm thinking particularly about that emotional conversation between Esther Jai and Jackson Feely.
that particular program was a real labor of love. Olivia Jones is one of our presenters on Virgin Radio UK. She spoke to me and to Mike and said, I've got this idea for a documentary roughly tracking what happened with Brianna, but focusing on, she's terrified, Olivia, she's got kids, and she's terrified about the online environment and how that's going to impact them and make people treat them. And so what we had there was the premise of a parent who's deeply concerned about the online environment, extremist content. You know, the average age most children encounter violent sexual content on the internet is 13 years old now. That is going to have an impact in some way, shape or form, how you form relationships. So there's that aspect of it. I said to Olivia, I went, right, I'm friends with Jackson. Jackson's been on my podcast, Outcast UK. I'm going to have a chat to Jackson and see if he can reach out to Esther, who is Brianna's mum, and we'll just see if there's a potential there. Jackson was super excited to sort of be involved and really believed in what we were doing, connected us with Esther. And then the rest is one of them things where everybody knew the purpose of what we were trying to achieve there. So Olivia did a lot of the, you know, was there crafting it, even down to remotely producing them two in a studio in Manchester with a videographer. You know, we wanted to make sure we captured their moments in 4K. So we had the sound bites. So we had the important bits that we wanted people to take away from the documentaries and share with some of our partners internally, because we've got the opportunity in this building in particular to really amplify some of that content, not just on social media, but using national newspapers that are just downstairs. From where I was sitting, I just saw it like a really obvious opportunity to make these points and do them well.
I'm about to meet with Esther Jai, someone I have the honour of calling my friend. Last year, her life was changed forever when her daughter Brianna was murdered. It became a news story which made headlines around the world.
Two teenagers have been found guilty of the murder of transgender teenager Brianna Jai near Warrington in February. The 16-year-old was stabbed 28 times.
Since then, Esther has made it her mission to make the world a better place for young people, starting by tackling negative influences online.
When it went out on air and when it fell into place, what Olivia had managed to craft in terms of the sound design and taking you through the meeting, getting you on board with how what the relationship was between them, making the points really well, and just taking this intimate chat and then zooming out from it and going, this is what Ofcom thinks. Spokesman from Ofcom, zoom back in, personal chat, out we zoom. And then here's what TikTok have said to our questions to them. Here's what Snapchat have said. Here's what the head teacher of a primary school in South Wales thinks about the situation. And I just love what Olivia did with it, and it was a pleasure. So I was the exec producer for that, and it's one thing sticking it together and going, I think maybe you should do this, but when someone comes back to you and the team that you're kind of working with come back and present you with something that legitimately, first time I heard the first 3 minutes, which are obviously super important when you're setting up a program like that. When I first heard them, I was, when I do a lot of my listening to stuff I've got to do on the train with my Beats headphones on the train on the way home, and it made me cry.
Made me cry too.
I'm really glad that, I mean, it sounds a bit horrible.
No, I have a 14-year-old, and so it made me cry too, because it was so affecting. But it was so beautifully done, and what you said about coming out and saying, well, this is what Ofcom said. Ofcom say this is what TikTok have to say, made it such a well-rounded piece.
I'm so glad that you think that. You know, when you've got a radio station, you've got something important that's playing out at a certain point. When you're the last point of contact between checking it on for play out and it going to air, and it's a high stakes broadcast, isn't it, really? I was there and I was like, check. Quadruple check. I must have checked it 10 times to make sure that every segment flowed into each other nicely. It was all positioned well. We had the content warnings either side of it. I don't think I've ever checked Zeta so many times before I allowed something to play out, and I was watching it as it happened. So yeah, I know that's super important. And you know, there's more to come when we're talking about stuff like that. This year, we're just, for me, wanting to be more inclusive and diverse. We're doing that in a way that doesn't focus on the issues that are going to cause dividing lines between lots of people, because we're in an election campaign at the moment. Imagine how complex this project is now. In this, it's been multiplied how complex it is.
People don't need to know exactly who she was. I suppose for me, that's mine, and that's something that I can hold on to, remembering her for who she was and for the good times. That is one way that I'm able to cope, that I'm able to keep going, because it, at one point it was all about the trial and it was all about what happened to her, and now I'm not going to keep thinking about what happened to her. I'm going to think about who she was, how lucky I was to actually have her, and to remember those good memories. And that keeps me going.
As a radio person, I enjoyed it. As a mum, I found it deeply affecting.
I was really proud of that. And honestly, there's more to come. We were talking about the trans question. I don't know why I'm phrasing it as a question, but the media kind of sometimes does that. But picking out the bits from that that everybody can relate to. Everybody is worried about their kids and how online safety is going to impact them. So how can we do that across the schedule and pick out these really kind of potentially divisive issues? And, you know, we've got a culture war across all, it's not just for any single political party, it seems to be all of them now. How do we pick out them things that people go, I really felt that, that's the thing that resonated with me, the issues that can bring us together around that, as opposed to the really divisive splinter issues where, you know, people are arguing about stuff that they didn't care about, frankly, 5 years ago, and all of a sudden that they think they do. You know,
now it's one of the top topics of the election, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's made doing, like I said, so much of this just that 10 times more tricky. And now having to think, is this okay to put there? Are we? But yeah, I feel like, I hope we've struck the balance right, and we haven't gone too cautious, because the conversations still need to happen. Aren't
I think that's the core of what you're doing. Virgin Radio Pride is about inclusivity. You're including everyone, thinking about, you know, that story, but also in a broader sense of all parents are going to be worried about online safety, and that's what made that piece so relevant.
Yeah, I think for me this year, I wanted it to be inclusive, like LGBTQ, right? The G, and by the G, I mean the gay men, the white, cisgendered gay men, 40-odd, me. We are, in many ways, in LGBTQ plus media, we're almost overrepresented. Gay men experience lots of prejudice, but we're almost given an easy ride. I can walk into a room and no one would know I was gay unless I specifically told them. Whereas other groups and other marginalized communities don't have that sort of luxury. So for me, I wanted to broaden it out. If more than half of LGBTQ plus people are women, why is LGBTQ plus media just full of cisgendered white gay men like me? That seemed to me to be wrong. And there was a really easy fix. We need more queer women on the air. We need more content that's geared not specifically for, but thinking of people identify as lesbian. So I wanted to kind of really broaden that and also have more people of color in the mix and do it in a way that was interesting. So I feel like another thing I wanted to do was make it clear that Virgin Radio Pride isn't just for the queer community. It's for the queer community and allies. And, you know, with huge percentage of the population identifying as LGBTQ+. Bisexual women are the single biggest group within that. And people who are allies or have kids or friends and are interested in the community, that I want them to be interested in Virgin Radio Pride.
So with that in mind, how did you think about putting the schedule together in terms of your presenters? Because you've got some great names involved in this. Names that also present, like yourself, but I'm thinking of people like Susie Ruffle and Tom Allen and so forth, who present on Virgin Radio.
So for me, some of it was just like, I wanted more gay women on the air. Susie is like at the top of her game as a comic and a presenter. It's a no-brainer to put Susie on, and to have Tom's show on Virgin Radio Pride again. Like I was messaged Tom on WhatsApp the other day and I said, you know, you're chief gay here. You know, you're the chief gay.
I bet he loved that.
He did. Tom is such a, like, I've had the privilege of working with Tom and producing him a few times, and he's an absolute dream. He's a really, really, really good guy. He's so funny, so nice. Everything you see on TV and everything is, Tom's like that all the time, even when he's just casually hanging out. So other bits of the schedule, we've got a thing called Pride Bangers.
Been listening to that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're getting away loads of music. It's Kistry, but it's not. It's not Kistry, but it's that format of just crunching rolls, talking off the end of the songs, and within that, it was an opportunity to bring new talent into the mix and allow them to get the exposure that being on daytime national radio would bring, but also in an environment that was safe for them. So there weren't too many mistakes made. So these are people, Nick Charles is a friend of mine, I've known him for quite a while, and he's got such an incredible backstory, Nick. He's from Trinidad, and in the noughties, he sought asylum in the UK after a wave of homophobic violence in Trinidad. And he came on my podcast to talk about it years ago. He was one of my first guests. Nick was living in immigration detention at one point, and his life was quite severely curtailed. And so he's only just up to speed now, having finished his degree and working in Manchester and getting into the media. And I'm like, surely someone like Nick deserves that leg up and that opportunity to have a crack on national radio, because we don't see a lot of people like that who are people of colour, who are queer, who arrived in this country in ways that have been somehow politicised in the last few years. Let Nick have his shot. Alfie, again, it was a no-brainer. I just felt like there was a real gap in our schedule for younger queer women. And Alfie knows her stuff and has been a really experienced producer. And, you know, I think they're both bringing something vibrant to that schedule. Yeah, there's still people that look like me, gay men like me. There's probably more of us on there than I would care to kind of admit, but that's the kind of environment we're operating in generally, you know, in society. It's difficult to bring new talent into the media, but there's been a real focus on bringing new people in, putting up front some people who've got something to say as well. So Susie, we've been using some content that she's recorded previously, so we've been able to get some great like interviews and perspectives to her, like her chat to Joe Lycett, MNEK, Tom's great. My podcast still does The Late Show on a Sunday. I didn't want to do a weekday show or anything, but I really fancied somewhere to put the slightly more edgy content that I was going to use on my podcast. I put it on Virgin Pride first. We're doing that. And also, you know, I think that let's not shy away from the fact that on a Saturday night, what you want is upbeat, decent tunes. You were like mixed blocks, all them kind of things. Let's lean into it. I'm particularly proud of our weekend schedule. I'm really like, that is something that was, I was so happy on day one when we had, you know, Steve, a live show. I've forgotten to mention that. Steve Denyer's live every day with a mid-morning show that's got a playlist not a million miles away from what he might have had on Galaxy back in the day, but with some real standout Spice track throwbacks and an hour of Pride Rewind, but then guests coming in. And that's been the easiest way for us to get maximum perspectives on the air from a whole array of different people. And have fairly nuanced and complex conversations. I don't want it to feel like a DEI project. I don't want it to feel like a community radio station. I want it to work as a radio station in its own right.
A big thank you to Graham Smith from Virgin Radio Pride for being my guest this week. You can find the station online on your smart speaker and DAB, and it's on air until the end of August. Our next Foot in the Door event is on the 26th of June at the University of Salford. You can get your tickets and find out more at radioacademy.org/training. And check out our website for all the details of tickets for the Radio Academy Festival, which is on the 18th of September. radioacademy.org/festival. And the early bird discount has been extended, so make sure you don't miss out. Next week, my guest is broadcaster, impressionist and comedy writer Matt Ford, who has set himself an incredible challenge of interviewing a candidate from each constituency for the general election on his podcast, The Political Party. I'll see you next week.